choosing yourself is part of stewardship unto the Lord. Don't forget that part. That is a crucial part. So you are entrusted not only to care for other people around you, but also to care for yourself. You discover yourself so much that there's a belief that you are not worth love anymore.
Come on.
So when nobody loves you and you don't love yourself, though, I don't deserve love, right? You know, why would even God love me? Because now that kind of, you know, the lies and all those mindset comes in.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another episode of You Are You, Unapologetically. See, we're the podcast where we celebrate your journey and remind you to show up in your life. We remind you to show up in your purpose and show up in your dreams fully and authentically. Yes, that's who we are. We're serious about how you show up being you. Today's episode is called The Inner Battles Women Face When They Finally Choose Themselves. Yes, and let me start with something honest, right? Not that I'm not honest, but let me start with something honest. Choosing yourself sounds empowering. It sounds bold. It sounds freeing, but nobody really talks about what happens after you make that decision, after you decide to do you for real. Nobody talks about the guilt, the second guessing of yourself, the voices or the head chatter that says you are being selfish. Look at you just being selfish. Or you may ask yourself, are you being selfish? That's the head chatter. Nobody talks about the fear of disappointing people, the solid judgment that comes around and hangs out with you. Nobody talks about the relationships that shift, because sometimes choosing yourself doesn't feel glamorous. Mm-mm. Sometimes it feels lonely. Sometimes it feels scary. And sometimes it feels like you're breaking all the rules. You were taught when you were younger, or you were taught that you had to follow your entire life. That's how you feel. So for so many women, we've been conditioned to take care of everybody else first. Everybody first. We've been conditioned to be the helper, to be the strong one, to be the dependable one. We've been conditioned to be the selfless one. So when you finally say, wait, what about me? What about what I need? What about how I feel? What do I need to do for me? What about that? It can feel so uncomfortable. And for some of us, very, very uncomfortable. Here's the truth. Choosing yourself is not selfish at all. It's not selfish. Not at all. No. It's not about you abandoning other. That's not it. Mm-mm. It's not wrong. So stop making it wrong, because we are not saying that it's wrong. Instead, we're saying it's right. Choosing yourself is right. It's an alignment. It's self-respect. It's survival. It's healing. And today, we're going to talk about those inner battles openly. So you know you're not cray-cray. That's why we're doing it. Nope, you're not crazy at all. You're not weak, and you are definitely not alone. So don't get it twisted. Far, 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 far too long. Too long, that is. Women have been praised for self-sacrifice, but rarely taught self-prioritization. We celebrate burnout. We give and wear badges of being busy, being busy, being busy. Just being busy. We walk around with a badge. I'm too busy. We glorify overgiving, and we applaud exhaustion. And then we wonder why so many women feel drained, resentful, or disconnected from themselves, disconnected from who they really are. See, you cannot pour from an empty cup. I know I can't. You cannot build a meaningful life while abandoning yourself. Not going to work. I cannot pour from an empty cup. I can't. I can only do pour from overflow, right? When there's something in my cup. I cannot build a meaningful life for myself while abandoning myself. That cannot happen. Period. It can't. And that's why this conversation matters. It matters because the moment a woman chooses herself, the moment she chooses her peace, her boundaries, her dreams, everything changes inside and out, internally and externally, to be more concise. Everything changes. And yes, there are battles, but those battles don't mean you're failing. No, baby, not at all. Not at all. Instead, those battles, they mean you're growing. You're growing, or you're being stretched. Yup, that's what I said. You are growing. But growth is uncomfortable. Remember the time when you outgrew that pair of shoes, you're a little long and younger, your toes start hurt. Yup, growth is uncomfortable. But being stagnant, see, that's painless. You don't feel anything when you're stagnant. So today, we are normalizing that discomfort and learning how to move through it all with confidence. Confidence. Yes. And today we're doing this with a phenomenal guest. Yes. I need you guys to know that we have a phenomenal guest. We have a phenomenal guest for this episode. I know. I'm always saying our guests are phenomenal because that's the truth. They are. Wait, you're going to find out for yourself. Okay. Let me tell you this. Our guest is the member care manager with the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community, where she is dedicated to supporting and empowering Christian entrepreneurs to thrive both personally and professionally. Known for her relational leadership and heart for people, she plays a key role in fostering meaningful connections with the global Nehemiah community. Yup. With nearly 20 years of experience as a real estate agent in Malaysia before joining Nehemiah, our guest brings a wealth of practical expertise and a strong people-centered approach to her work. In addition to her professional background, she serves actively in her local church, holding multiple leadership roles as part of the management team, a ministry leader, and a small group leader. Yes, a devoted believer in Jesus Christ, she is indeed. Our guest is deeply, and I said deeply, passionate about helping individuals grow, helping them flourish and live with a purpose. She currently resides in Penang, Malaysia. Yup, that part right there, where she continues to serve with faith, excellence, and a genuine commitment to seeing others succeed. Please, please, please put your hands together and help me to welcome our phenomenal guest by the name of Samantha Lau. Thank you for being here, Samantha. Welcome, welcome, welcome to You Are You Unapologetically podcast. We are so excited that you are here. Welcome, my love. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Wait, before I even let you jump in, before we even jump into anything, I just have to ask you this because I do it with all of my guests, because it's important for my listeners to know how I meet my guests, right? So please, please take a moment and share how we met, Samantha.
Wow, Dr. Kim, that was an awesome introduction you did there. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Yeah.
Thank you for having me in your podcast. It's an honor to share with your audience. How we met? I believe we met in one of the members orientation session with the organization that I work with, the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community. It was such a wonderful time getting to know you. And I really admire your heart and your passion journeying with women. And I think you were attending one of the events. In the US, and you met with our chief servant officer, Patrice. And Patrice said, you really need to, you know, join our community, be part of our community. And then, And that's where it started. And there were so many things that are in store that we're going to launch, you know, events and all that. So I'm really excited. With this partnership with you, Dr. Kim. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so am I. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So yes, it was with the Nehemiah Entrepreneur Community, the project. I'm so excited as well. And so meeting Patrice, who will also be a guest on our podcast, you guys, another phenomenal guest we're going to have. So Thank you so much, Samantha, for saying yes to being on our podcast today. I want to start personal, right? I want to get into the nitty gritty, the good stuff, right? Because I think we all have that one moment, that turning point where we finally say, I can't do this anymore. I just can't do it anymore. I can't keep being everything for everybody. I can't keep doing this while abandoning me, abandoning myself. We have that moment where we'll say, I can't keep abandoning myself. So Samantha, with that being said, can you please tell us about a moment in your life where you decided to choose yourself over external expectations, yourself over external expectations? And I want you to please share what inner battles came with that bold, audacious decision. Please, you have the floor, my love. Please share.
Thank you, Dr. Kim. One moment, I would say it's a daily battle, mostly on the weekends, right? daily and more on the weekend, I would say. There's always expectation, right? Because of my leadership role that I hold, like in church and also, you know, professional role in work. So, you know, there's always a feeling of obligation. If there is any free time, you should spend them checking on people, ministering to people, you know, giving your best. Every single minute needs to be utilized properly, right? Because they are entrusted to you. And I feel very guilty if I choose not to do anything or just chill at home, right? So I have to, you know, sit myself down.
Wow.
Every once in a while, or you know, and I have the conversation with myself that I too needed to be cared for. I too, you know, is part of my own responsibility being entrusted to. It is something that is important and expected of from me. So, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I think so many women, including myself, are going to hear themselves right in your story, because I did, right? And they can truly, truly relate. And so it's about, like I said, you know, getting to that point of choosing. I think that's the issue. I have to choose myself. That's not the issue, that's the key, right? Like, and that's what I heard you said, that you had to sit yourself down and choose yourself. So awesome. So me being an emotional wellness life coach, I know the importance of our emotions and how they show up in our lives and how we attach them to everything. So let's talk about what really shows up emotionally when women choose themselves, because it's not just confidence or clarity. Mm-mm. Sometimes guilt shows up. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's what will people think? So from what you experience, right, in your life, or what you witness with others, please share what are the most common inner struggles that you face or women that you know face when they finally decide to prioritize themselves, whether it's in their relationship, I would love you to speak from that, their work or their personal lives. What are some of those inner common inner struggles we all are dealing with?
I think women cares a lot of how people view them, right?
Yes.
Not just, you know, externally, but also internally, in the way we carry ourselves, in the way we make decisions, in the way we serve our community and so on. So making a decision to choose ourselves tend to feel selfish, because it goes against what we as women believe in, which is, you know, you have to be sacrificial most of the time.
Yes.
If you're not sacrificing yourself, you're not doing it right.
That's true. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Keep it up. Come on.
Yeah. So the other thing that I find, I feel like influence women is how society view women and how women see themselves in society. Like in many society, at least in the society that I grow up with, women grow up witnessing how their older sister, their mother, their grandmother, aunts continuously sacrifice themselves to serve others. And these become their beliefs as how a way a woman should live, right? So making a decision against this belief is not easy. We, you know, need to overcome the mindset that the woman choose themselves does not equal to abandoning their role and responsibilities. You know, women carries a lot of responsibilities at home, you know, and also at work and in church, in ministries, right? Yes. So being able to choose yourself, the self-care that you give to yourself will only benefit not only yourself, but also people that are entrusted to you. Because if you take good care of yourself, then you can serve others better. So it's that change of mindset, I think, really helped me. Yeah.
And you said, and thank you for so much, you said selfishness, right? That comes up. But also I want to zero in a little bit more because of the culture, right? Mm-hmm. And so you said the way you were raised or you grew up, which is totally different, of course, and because we're in different countries and our society is a little different. We have some that are, you know, similarities, but the culture plays a huge role in it as well. And you mentioned it because you said, you look at your sisters, you look at your mother, your grandmother, and all of them have been sacrificing. And so in certain cultures, it's like that. It's written in stone, like this is what women are supposed to do. In our culture, meaning in the U.S., it's not as embedded in our culture, but it's something that we take on as well. And so I just wanted to shine a light on that because it's also part of the culture, which then those inner struggles become even tougher because you're going against your culture as well. And so thank you for sharing that part because I literally wanted to emphasize that. So to be fully transparent and totally honest, I think guilt is one of the biggest inner challenges that we have. I feeling like if I choose me, I'm letting someone else down. And you mentioned that. You did say that as well. Feeling guilty because I'm making it all about me, right? Because you heard it before. It's not about you. It's not about you, right? But we have to make it about me. I have to make it about me. You have to make it about you. And then when we do that, then judgment shows up, right? That's another emotion that comes up. It shows up alongside of guilt, like they walk in hand in hand. And it makes you feel bad or shameful that you are just setting aside this time. So how do you, Samantha, navigate feelings of guilt or judgment when you choose your needs, what you need to do over others? How do you manage that?
I think for me, there is two things, the major things that I need to do. First, I mentioned about sitting myself down, talking to myself. Yeah. And so as I sit myself down, I look at myself as the third person. Okay. And I ask myself, I think the Lord gave me a gift of being able to talk to others, talk to others, to love others, to love yourself.
Samantha, I'm sorry for cutting you off. I call it the gift of gab, right? We got the gift of gab, right? So go ahead. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead. I just wanted to say that.
I mean, like, I can convince others, tell others, like, you know, you should take care of yourself. You can do that. But with myself, it's difficult. So I try to see myself as that third person and ask myself, you know, what would I say to Samantha as a friend that desire her to live her life to the fullest and not discount herself, but still live a full life the Lord had promised her and she's still able to function in her role. And, you know, I speak to myself in that role. And that's the first thing I do. And then, you know, the word of the Lord that he have promised, you know, who you are. And then once I talk to myself, now I have to make it practical because otherwise it's just, you know, a good idea and it doesn't happen, right?
Right.
So make it practical. Once I realize that choosing myself is not only right, but necessary, I plan it onto my calendar, my to-do list. I treat it as a task that I am entrusted to do. which is taking care of myself.
Yes.
You know, this way I am not affected by emotion because I make the decisions and I plan it out and I put it in. And, you know, the emotions and guilt will not trap me as much. Because when I look at it on my task, on my calendar, I know that these have been well planned. When I planned this, I did not discount the people around me, the people that I've been entrusted with. Yes. So it helps me to, you know, remove that, you know, that guilt.
Yes, yes, yes.
That this is not an impromptu, selfish decision. I have considered everything when I make this decision. So that has been helping me.
Awesome, awesome. And so that's definitely the mindset, right? And then I appreciate you sharing your strategy, sitting yourself down, talking to yourself. But then not only that, this, you know, that helped you. And you said, no, you got to be practical. You put it on your calendar. And so that's how you stay grounded in taking care of yourself and putting your needs over others, which is absolutely amazing. Self-care, you said it before, but we know that term self-care gets labeled. It gets labeled as selfish so often. We get the head chat around it, and you said it and you will agree that our self-care, that just that terminology, right? Or that term that is. But is it, but it's not, what I want to say is, but it's really survival, right? The self-care that we're talking about, taking care of ourselves, it gets labeled as selfishness, but it's really not selfishness at all. It is really survival. It's what we as women need to survive or life within our lives. And it's a, if we don't look at it as survival for ourselves, then life and its cronies, right? Everything else that happened in life, right, will take us out. It take us out of the picture. So how do you practice self-care in your day-to-day life? In your day-to-day life, and how do you make sure it doesn't feel selfish, but you make it feel necessary, right? And I want to say, I heard you say, especially on weekends, right? But now we're talking day-to-day. What is it that you do day-to-day that allows you to practice self-care and you make it feel necessary and not you feel selfish about it? Please share.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kim. How to make it not feel like selfish? I think for me, I try to make things simple, not because, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we feel like it's selfish or we don't deserve, because we feel like we don't deserve it.
Right.
But that's not true.
Right.
But once I realized that, you know, that's not true, then I should do it. I don't, you know, when you realize that, you tend to want to do a lot of things, but it's not practical. If you are not able to sustain it, you know, choosing yourself continuously, it defeats the, you know, the benefits, you know, why you should do it. So I try to make it simple so that I can follow through. I take small steps and continuous steps. I make sure I follow through. I take care of myself continuously rather than, you know, when I realize and I'm already drained out, then only I choose myself, you know. Yeah. So be mindful and do it consistently. So I make sure I spend my time on the different areas of caring for myself, whether it's the spiritual, physical, mental, and so on. You know, I invest time in it. It could be, you know, not a significant amount of time, but there's time. Because I need to love myself. If not, you know, sometimes when you give too much, you feel like you discount yourself.
Yes.
And you discount yourself so much that you there's a belief that you are not worth love anymore.
Come on.
So when nobody loves you and you don't love yourself, though, I don't deserve love, right? You know, why would even God love me? Because now that kind of, you know, the lies and all those mindset comes in. So it's very important, yeah, for me to consistently do it. And I have to love myself,
yes,
right? Because the Word of God says, you love others as you love yourself. How can I love others? Don't love myself, right? So that's really important, yeah, that I remind myself. I allocate time, doable, allocate time to do it. And I remind myself, stewarding my own well-being is equally crucial as to caring and serving others. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. And so I want to jump back on a question or add this question in, because we were talking about society, right? And how do society play a role or expectations on us? So, and looking at the culture, right? Like we talked about our different cultures. So my question is, how can women start breaking free from the invisible rules that we've been taught to follow? And so speaking specifically in your culture, as you shared, when you look at your older sisters or you look at your mother, or your grandmother, and you see that this is what they've been doing, like all mm-hmm. their lives. And so how do you break those invisible rules that said you have to do the same thing? How can women, particularly, let's say in your culture, break these invisible rules? Because I'm quite sure when you speak about them in your culture, you're going to be speaking about those same women in my culture. So can you share?
Yeah, I think it's not easy, because culture, it's ingrained in you and you grow up in that culture, it become a part of you. So one of the things that I think really help is to function under the word of God. The word of God as the law, as the rule, as my new culture, rather than the culture that I grew up in. If anything, that the culture that I grew up in is against the word of God or is not aligned with the word of God, then I should be, you know, following what the word of God says, you know, instead of following what the cultures say. The cultures say that women have to be sacrificial and, you know, to live for others and not live for themselves. But the word of God says, no, you know, God loves me. He see my worth. I'm valuable. He give his only son. So living it with that new mindset. That's for me personally, but culturally for the society, I think women are very influential, right? So women influencing women, that is very important in choosing themselves. So what I do is when I realize, I talk to my friend, right? I share with them and help them to journey as well. I journey with them in their journey as well, so that they start to see things differently from the word of God instead of from their cultural perspective. Because I really see in my mother. My mother grew up in that same culture.
Yes.
And she loves herself. I will ask her, she doesn't have any hobby, any interest. She don't know herself. She only know herself as a mother, as a wife,
yes,
as a daughter to her mother. That's it.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any like close friends, you know, things that, you know, her hobbies, what she's passionate about. You know, even, yeah, so that's really sad.
Wow. Yeah, no, I get it. And it's, and like you said, it's not easy. But what I love what you said is the word of God, right? And lining yourself up with that. And so it's knowing that you're worthy as well. And so one thing I do see a lot in women, I see women feeling like they have to earn the right to be themselves. They have to earn the right to choose themselves. So they do this as if they have to prove their worth. Like they don't know their worth. I have to prove my worth or that I'm worthy first. So how did you personally, and you shared it a bit of it, and I just want to just say it again, how did you personally reframe the idea in your life, and how did you reframe it in the idea about you being you or you serving you and taking care of yourself? How did you reframe that in your life, and how did you reframe it, and I'm talking your personal life, and how did you reframe that idea in your career as well?
All right. Yeah, growing up in an Asian society, you know, needing to prove yourself, it's even more significant. You have to always prove yourself.
Yeah.
I remember needing to do that, you know, to prove my worth all the time. You know, you have to do well in your exam. You have to do well in every area, you know, as a child, as a young adult. It's an uphill challenge because that creates a mindset. I also tend to judge myself more harshly with high standards because if not, I don't deserve it because that's how I am. My mindset is framed when I was growing up. If you do well, your parents reward you. You have to do really, really well to be rewarded. You just do okay. Yeah. You know, my dad will ask like, why is it B plus? Or why is it A minus? It should be A plus, right? Why are you lacking? Like, you can have like 10 subjects, A in 9 subjects. He will look at the B, like, what's wrong here? Mm. We're not talking about the rest, you know, because that's how it should be, you know, right? You know, you're not getting praises for that because that's how it should be. You're getting, you know, the question for the B, right? So that kind of, you know, end up making me feel like I don't deserve anything good. You know, and if I don't meet expectation, because, you know, even when I start to work as a young adult in the beginning, you know, if I like something, like, yeah, you know, you better prove yourself first, then you deserve it. You can't just, you know, get good things for yourself, you know.
Right. Oh, wow.
So, the other part you talk about, you know, my personal journey, how I overcome it. Again, falling back to the Word of God. I think the Word of God is so powerful. Really, you know, the Word of God talks about renewing our mind. And that's exactly what it does. It reminds me of, you know, my worth, not in my works, but how He sees me.
Yes.
It is His works, not my works, that, you know, gives me worth. Work dying, His work dying on the cross make me worthy.
Come
and
on.
He chose me. If He choose me, who am I not to choose myself, right?
Yes.
He knows better. You know, I should not doubt His choice, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, He, in His perfect, the perfect loving God, make that decision to choose us. So that really gives me a lot of confidence to choose myself. You know, that I'm worth it. Being able to see more and more how my Heavenly Father sees me through His eyes, rather than seeing me through my own eyes. Because when I see myself, I see with a judgmental eyes. Because you know yourself. You know,
you're not alone.
That nobody knows, right?
Yes.
So choosing myself become easier day by day when I agree with the Lord.
Yeah. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Oh my gosh, that was so scrumptious. I really appreciate that. All right, so before we wrap up, I want to ask you one final question.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give to a woman who is listening right now, but who knows she needs to choose herself? She knows this, but she feels guilty, judgmental, and she's afraid to do it. What would you say? What advice would you give to that woman or women?
Yeah, that, my sister, is a lie of the enemy. Those, you know, those guilt, those feelings, you know, those are the lies of the enemy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that has been instilled in our mind for generations. So sit yourself down, right, you know, and then speak against those words, you know, in the name of Jesus, and speak to yourself, you know, how the Lord sees you. Bible verses. I like to have Bible verses, you know, maybe on my phone, easy to access. I can read it. I will repeat those verses on myself until I get it, not only in my mind, but also in my heart, in my spirit. That, you know, choosing yourself is part of stewardship unto the Lord. Don't forget that part. That is a crucial part. So you are entrusted not only to care for other people around you, but also to care for yourself, right? Because, you know, just now I mentioned about the Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, that says, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
You can, if you don't love yourself enough and then you go and practice this verse, love your neighbor as yourself, you're not giving enough love for your neighbor because you're not giving enough love for yourself, right? So, yeah. So love yourself so that, you know, the way you deserve it, so that you can love others the way they deserve it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you. So you have been so phenomenal and I'm so happy that you were able to share from the heart and from personally as well. How can our listeners connect with you? So if someone is out there and they're listening and they're like, oh my gosh, I would love to connect with Samantha Lau, how can they do that? Please share.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kim. I work as the member care manager with Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community. So you can write into me. My email is samantha@nehemiahecommunity.com. Or you can also find me on my social media, Facebook, Instagram. Search under Samantha Lau, Lau San San, LAUSANSAN. So I really love to connect with you so that, you know, we can journey together. We can share with each other, you know, our struggles. And then, you know, the Word of God talks about how we should be, as believers, we should be in a community, yes. You know, in a community when you're weak, someone else, you know, pull you up, encourage you. When you're strong and another person is weak, you encourage them. And I feel like it's such a privilege, you know, for me to work, to serve as the member care manager in the Nehemiah community. It's about the community.
Yes, it
community
is.
Where we empower each other to, as we journey together. And that's really powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thank you, Samantha. We truly appreciate you. We will make sure that we also put your, because we do, you know, we do a blog with all of this, but we'll make sure as we post information about this episode that we put your email address there as well. So everyone can see it. And so we are so, so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for your time. And most of all, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Dr. Kim. It is such a privilege to be here with you. Thank you for the honor.
You're welcome. And wow, what a wonderful, wonderful person. Thank you, Samantha. Thank you so much. What powerful things you have said. And thank you for such an honest conversation. Thank you, Samantha. You were so on point, so on point. And so we are so grateful for that. Now, if you don't mind, allow me to recap. So we're saying choosing yourself, it's not selfish. Mm-mm. It's necessary. So don't get it twisted, right? Guilt is common. We're going to experience it, but it's not the truth. It's not true. No, feel the guilt. The guilt's going to be there. But guess what? That's a common thing, but it's not true. Mm-mm. It's not true. No, not at all. Boundaries. Oh my gosh. They protect your peace. So think about it. When you set times, just like what Samantha said, she set aside time. She put it on her schedule. She put it there so that she, right, can do it herself, like in that particular time. She set a boundary, put a boundary in place, and it protects her peace, for sure. Self-care, it's not selfish at all, right? I said it's survival, right? But really, it's maintenance. It's not luxury, right? It's what we need. It's what we need. So do it more often than not. Self-care. And prioritizing yourself creates space for you to be authentic. For you to be you, right? So you can have authentic success in being you. It allows you to be you unapologetically, because that's why we're here, right? So remember, you don't have to disappear to be loved. You don't have to shrink or play small, right? To belong. You don't have to abandon yourself to be worthy. No, not at all. You just have to be you. Be you unapologetically. That's it. Now, I can't go without putting you into action, because we did a lot of conversating, right? We heard from Samantha. I did a recap. So now let's get into action. Here is what I want you to do this week. One, I want you to identify one place in your life where you've been overdoing it, right, working. Just identify that one place in your life. And then two, I want you to set small boundaries. Put a limit in place or stop it completely. Or do what Samantha does. She put it on her calendar. Set one small boundary. And then three, do one thing just for you. One thing just for you and without an apology. You're not apologizing for this, but be sure to tell me about it, right? Be sure to hit me up and tell me about that one thing that you're doing for you this week without an apology. So that's your action step. That's what I want you to do. Take small steps, right? Because when you take small steps, they create big freedom. That's right. So with society's rigid expectations and endless opinions, self-expression can feel daunting. And it does. Oh, it can weigh you down. But you were never created to live small. So don't live small. And if you are, stop living small. You are you. Unapologetically, and you owe no one an apology, no one, for being you. So when you show up without pretense and hesitation, when you show up like that, the world cannot dull your glamour. They cannot dim your light, although they will try. So stop shrinking, stop playing small, stop apologizing, and start choosing you. Start choosing you. Yep, start choosing you. That's what I said. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, listeners. Thank you, Samantha. Samantha Lau, thank you for sharing your heart. And thank you for sharing your wisdom today. We truly appreciate you. And to every one of you listening, every one of you who hears the sound of my voice, if this episode resonates with you, I dare you to share it. I dare you to share it with another woman who needs to hear it, one, but another woman who feels she needs permission to choose herself. Share it with someone. I'm quite sure you can find a woman to share this episode with, because we don't need permission to take care of ourselves. And you don't need permission to be you. Absolutely not. So keep being you. Keep doing you. Keep showing up, because you are you unapologetically. And no one, absolutely no one, is better at being you than you. Ciao, ciao.